Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Rosh Hashanah Chav Beis. We're right on top of the Amud. Ma'asa she'avru yoyser marboim zug v'ikvon Rabbi Akiva belud. The Mishnah related a story where 40 peers of Edom were heading to Yerushalayim on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva stopped them. We don't need so many peers of Edom. Be mechalal Shabbos. One is enough. According to the Gersa in our Mishnah, it was Rabbi Gamliel who protested. He says, you can't do that. If you're going to stop them now, you're basically discouraging any future Edom from traveling to Yerushalayim on Shabbos. Well, they don't need me. There's somebody else going. Don't do that. Keep things flowing. Keep things consistent. That's all part of the system. In fact, some say there is a svara that maybe some of these Edom will become disqualified when they discover, Bezin discovers inconsistencies in their testimony. Just allow everyone to go. That's part of the system. Don't be machshel. Don't create confusion and second guessing on the part of the Edom in the future. Says the Gemara Tanya, according to the following brisa, the story occurred differently. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Chas v'Shalom, Rabbi Akiva Ikvan. We cannot say Rabbi Akiva was the one who prevented the Edom from traveling. He knew better than that. Ella, rather, who was it? Shizvar. That was his name. Shizvar, who was Rosh Hashal Geder, the mayor of the town Geder. Ikvan, he was the one who held the Edom back. V'Shalach Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel sent a message, V'ridu migdul osay. They removed him from his position. They threw him out of office. You have no business stopping the Edom on the way to Yerushalayim. Continues the Mishnah. Av ubnoi sheru'u es achodesh. Say a father and son both noticed the new moon. Yelchu, you should travel to Yerushalayim and offer their testimony. Generally, relatives can't join together as one, in one group, one pair of Edom. But in this case, let them both go. Of course, father and son cannot be combined and offer their Edus together as one pair of Edom. So what then is the reason? Why would they travel to Yerushalayim if, in any case, Bezin would not listen to both of them? Ella, rather, the reason is Shem Yipasl Echad Mem. Suppose one of them, father or son, will become disqualified if they discover some sort of inconsistency in what he's saying. Then Yitzdarif Hashenim Achar, the other fellow, can join a stranger who happened to be standing there by himself without a partner. So this other fellow here will have either the father or the son to join him as a partner, to be able to give over the Haggadah's Edus. So according to Tanakhama, father and son cannot join together as one, in one zug, in one pair, in one partnership. Just like all other Eduyas Shabbat Torah, relatives cannot join together. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he disagrees. Av ubnoi, father and son, v'chol akroim, and likewise all relatives, k'sherim le'edus achodesh. Akasha, when it comes to Edus HaChodesh, we treat this differently than other Eduyos. And the Gemara will explain the reason for this. Amar Rabbi Yosi, he's going to relate a story where, again, we find the Shita like the Tanakhama. Relatives are disqualified from joining together by Edus HaChodesh. Ma'asa b'Tuvia Reif, there was a story involving Tuvia the doctor. Shiraz HaChodesh b'Yushalayim, he noticed the brand new moon Yushalayim. He was standing together, who, b'noi, him and a son, v'avda meshuchrar, and his eved that has already been released. So the three of them saw the new moon, and they went to the Beis HaMikdash to offer their edus. And what happened? V'kibu ha-kehanim, the kehanim was standing there at the entry point, interviewing all the potential edim. They were not the bezin, but they were there to weed out the unsuitable edim. And they accepted, they received Oysoi Vespinah, him and his son, Upaslos Avdai. The Eved is qualified, even though he was already Meshuchrar, he was no longer an Eved in the actual Avdus. So he had a din of a Yisrael, but he was not Meyuchas, he wasn't one of a superior lineage. He was an Eved after all. And therefore, the Kehanim said, Ve'edus HaChodesh, we need high quality Edom. The Eved is not suitable. So father and son, yes, Kreivma, okay, but not the Eved. That was their notion. But when they came to the Bezdin, who knew what they were talking about, they decided to take the father and the son and the Eved, because they're unrelated. You don't need a miyuchas. Eved Meshuchar was okay. Upaslos benoit disqualified his son. Kreivma, no good. So according to Tanakhama and the final version of events in this story, the Bezdin of Yerushalayim, Kreivma pasl, whereas according to Reb Shimon, Krav ma kasher. Amar Levi, my time with the Reb Shimon. Why would relatives be kasher for Eidus HaChodesh? Dechsev. Vayoyimer Hashem al Moshe al Aaron. Beretz Mitzrayim lema. Hashem turns to Moshe al Aaron. He says, HaChodesh hazelachem. And we learn from here, this Chodesh, this Eidus HaChodesh, is given over into your hands. Eidus zu tekshir bochem should be kasher. If it involves both of you, Moshe and Aaron, brothers, you can go be made by Eidus HaChodesh. So it's a special pasuk to be mater a kariv. V'rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan hold? They hold that a kariv is no good. What do they do with this pasuk? HaChodesh is a lachem. They learn Eidus zu, this Eidus, this testimony, teimersur lachem, is in your hands. You're in charge of it, says Rashi, 3 lines from the top. Reb Shimon learns, HaChodesh Zalachem, take Sheir Rebochem, Vafa B'Shem Achim. So Moshe Ba'aron can offer testimony, even though they're brothers. Rabbanan say, no, Tehir Mosur Lachem, Lechashuvi Hador, Ani Moisir, She Kablu Ha'edus, V'Yikachu HaChodesh. I'm handing over authority to the Chashuvi Hador, to the Bezdin. That's all it means. V'loy Lahach Shekreivim Ba, but Pasuk does not allow Kreivim to be involved. So according to the Kohanim and the Migdash, relatives are okay, but not the Eved Meshuchar. According to the Beis Din, they qualify they allow the Eved, but not the relatives. Amar Rav Chana Bar Rava, Hilchosuk Rav Shimon, that what? Krav Ma Kasher. Amar Rav Huna Rav Chana Bar Rava. How could you say that? We have a Mishnah where we saw Rav Yosi Umasa. Rav Yosi had a story, Halacha L'Masa. Bezdin rejected relatives. Vat Amris Hilchas Rav Shimon. How could you suggest that Halacha follows Rav Shimon, the relatives are okay? You know, throughout Shas, we always say Masa Rav. You know, we can speak in learning, back and forth, but when we see a Masa done, Halacha L'Masa, that carries weight, that is authoritative. According to the Masa now Mishnah, Kravim are rejected. Amalei, so Rav Chanan bar Rava responded to Rav Huna. Amar lo, v'zimn sagin. You know, many times, Amris kamei de Rav, I presented in front of Rav the following. Hilchasak Rav Shimon. I told him, halacha follows Rav Shimon. Krav ma okay. V'lo yom aliv lo'imidi. He never protested. Apparently, he agreed that they accepted halacha as according to Rav Shimon. Amar lo, so Rav Huna asks Rav Chanan, tell me one thing here. What version were you presenting to Rav? Hechi Tanis, how did you learn our Mishnah? Amalei Ifcha, actually, the reverse, all the way around. Meaning, according to my version of the Mishnah, and that's the way I presented it to Rav, it was Rav Shimon who says, Kravimah disqualified. And according to the Master Rav Yosi, Kravimah okay. Right? So I had a girsa the other way around. Right? So it was Rabbi Yosi who says Krav Makasha, and Rabbi Shimon was the one who brought the story which concluded in the halacha that Krav Ma rejected. Oh, Amar Leiz, he tells him that's exactly why Rav had no problem when you said Hilchos Rabbi Shimon, which really meant Krav Ma Pasul. Exactly as I said. That's why he didn't say anything. Because you were right on. True. You said Hilchos Rav Shimon, but that what? A Krav Ma Pasul. Amar Tavi, Bray the son of the Mari Tavi, Amar Mar Ukva, Amar Shmuel, Hilchos Rav Shimon is according to the final halacha in the Gemara. We do follow Rav Shimon that Kroivim are kosher. Eloin Epsilon. Now, just one more thing. Tosis makes an interesting point. He says that the Kehanim Yerushalayim, they said Kroivim are okay, but not the Eved Meshuchar, even though he was really a Yisrael kosher, but he didn't have the proper Yichus. And the Gemara brings a pasuk as a source for kashrus of kreivim. Hachodesh is alachem. Moshe Baron, you can be involved in Eidus Hachodesh. Says Tosis, you know what? For that very same reason, the Kehanim and Yerushalayim rejected the Eved, because you are kosher. Moshe Baron, kreivim are kosher. But it has to be like you, just like you are miyuchasim. You are ones with superior lineage. Likewise, the Edom have to have that quality. And therefore, the Kehanim disqualified the Eved Meshuchar. So according to them, it was hand in hand. HaKadosh said Lachem, it's kosher brachem, kreivim are good, but it has to be like you, miyuchasim. Interesting. So that's the mucker for their shita. But bottom line is, the Gemara is machsher the kreivim, and it doesn't seem from this Gemara and the next sugya that we follow the Kehanim's view of things, that you need miyuchasim. You don't necessarily need miyuchasim. Any Yisrael kosher is okay. And according to the Maskona, even kreivim are okay. Elohim apsulim, says the Mishnah. Who are individuals that are considered pasul, even for Eidus HaChodesh? Hamasachek bekuvya. One who plays with his dice or chips and gambles, which Rashi says is gezel midrabbanan, because it's called asmachta. Nobody's really interested in losing this money. Everybody thinks he's going to win. So taking this money is considered gezel midrabbanan. Umava beribis, one who lends with interest. Umafricha yoinim. He's involved in bird racing, another form of gambling. Vesoichre shvius, he engages in commercial activity with shvius produce, which is against the pasuk, which says la'achla, he meant to eat it and not to schere with it. Now Tosis points out that all these psulim in the Mishnah are only psulim at the Rabbanon. Because they're not really overtly stealing, they're not involved in blatant averis, which would indicate that they're interested in falsifying their edus on account of having monetary gain. He says, look, Misachi Bekuvya, he's gambling. So either you hold it's only Gezel Midrabban, or even if it's not Gezel Midrabban, it's Midairaisa. But he doesn't think of it as Gezel. True, he's doing something wrong, but in his mind, it's just fair play. So he doesn't look at it himself like he's willing to do a blatant Isser, for the sake of money, which might lead him to falsify his Edus when bribed to do so, which is really the reason why somebody would be puzzled for Edus. So that's why Misachek Bekuvya is only Midrabbanan. Malvi Berib is true, he's doing an Issa Daraisa for monetary gain, but in his mind, he excuses himself. This is the way you do business. So he's not viewing himself like a crook, and this won't lead him to Chas V'Shalom falsify his Edus when he gets a bribe. Marficha Yoinim is racing his birds, again a form of gambling. Seichri Shvi, Seichri says, perhaps we're speaking Bezman Hazeh, where it's only the Rabbanon. In any case, the four individuals mentioned in the Mishnah only puzzle Edus from the Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon, we don't believe they're Edus. We see they're involved in various Isurim for monetary gain. We're concerned that perhaps they'll be paid off to falsify their Edus. So when Atoyra del Stalkasha, the Rabbanon of Machmer, even these fellows are disqualified. Who else is disqualified? The Avodim, an Eved, who's still working. Still a slave, not a Eved Meshuchra. And therefore, he's Pasal Eidos, even Eidos HaChadosh. Ze'aklal, this is the rule to follow. Kol Eidos, Sheina Isha K'sherla. Any Eidos where Isha cannot offer testimony, meaning a typical Eidos in Bezdin, that Isha is Pasal to give. Af Hein Einin K'sherla. Likewise, all these fellows are Pasal to offer their Eidos in Bezdin as well. Says the Gemara, apparently, if you'll find a case where an Isha is kasha to offer Edus, such as in the case where husband disappeared, we don't know where he is, Aisha comes along and says, you know what? I know for a fact your husband died. The Gemara Yevamos tells us we believe her. So this is an example of a case where an Isha has Ne'amanus, because in that case we don't really need a true aid, Minatur, even just Ne'amanus, believability is enough. And even an Isha has Ne'amanus, and therefore she can be Ne'aman in such a case. So apparently, if we have a case where an Isha is kosher, then all these fellows they mentioned in the Mishnah, which are only considered Psulim Midrabanan, will be kosher as well. Right? The Mishnah says, only a full-fledged aid is a proper testimony in a proper court of law, a proper court proceeding, where an Isha is possible, because we know an Isha is possible aid is, so then all these psuli d'rabbonim, misachet b'kuvya, possible as well. But suppose we don't need a proper aid is. An Isha is coming to tell us, I know that a certain husband passed away, I want to allow his wife, to remarry. Then we trust even an Isha. In that case, all these fellows are believed as well. And the reason is, we'll see in Rashi, because again, we're not speaking about a fellow who's blatantly doing Yisurim, but Farhesia, but Mezid, for monetary interest here. He fa'enfers himself, he excuses himself, and therefore, although he's plus the Rabbanan, but in a case where all you need is some sort of Ne'amanus, some sort of believing in Ne'amanus, even this fellow would be enough. Says the Gemara Ha'isha Kshirlo. Suppose we're speaking about a case where even the Isha is believed, like in the case, as I mentioned, a husband disappeared, and Isha comes along and says, I know for a fact this fellow died, we believe her. In that case, Afhein Ksherin La, all those fellows in the Mishnah will be believed as well. Amar Ravashi, we learn from here, Zayse Meres, this tells us, Gazlan de Devrayim, Ksherin La, this Isha of a person, is a Gazlan, but only the Rabbanon, like in the case of the gambling, he's Kasher, Le'edus Isha, which means to allow an Isha to remarry. Why? Says Rashi, about 3-4 lines up. Le'edas Isha. Latir Linase, to allow an Isha to remarry. Vedafka Gazlan Divrim. Oh, says Rashi, let's make that distinction. A Gazlan Midrabbanan, he's accepted. He's believed in this case. He's qualified to offer this sort of a testimony, this sort of account. It's not really Edas, it's just offering his version of the account, and we believe him. Ava Gazlan Deiraisa, but in a case where a person is an outright Gazlan Midaraisa, the Chotzev Lava Refar Hesia, this fellow is prone to do Gzela outright, blatantly. Would not accept his testimony, even for this Edus Isha, which doesn't need a proper testimony. Although an Evan Isha Akasha for that, you don't need a bona fide aid. The Psuli Deiraisa, even though they're possible Deiraisa for ordinary Edus. But in this case, we are Mater Evan Isha, but not a Gazlan. Deiraisa was a true blatant Gazlan. This fellow, he's not to be believed at all. This fellow can easily be paid off to offer any sort of testimony, so he's off the table. So bottom line is, we have three categories. We have standard Edus, in a typical Bezdin. You need a male, an Ish, an Ish is possible, an Evid is possible, and everybody else, Kroivim, for sure. Gazlanim, Deiraisa, Drohan, possible. In the case of the Edus to be Mater and Isha to remarry, Rashi brings another case of a Soita. So there's somebody telling us that she acted inappropriately, and therefore she's off the table. She can't even drink the May Soita. These are examples of situations where we don't really require true Edim, just believability is enough, Nemanus is enough. In this case, an Isha can be made, an Evet can be made, and even these fellows mentioned in the Mishnah who apostle Midrabbonon. Regarding Edus HaChodesh, that is pretty much like a regular Edus. We have one exception, according to Reb Shimon, a Karev is okay. That's learned from the Pasuk of HaChodesh HaZelachem. Continues the Mishnah, this is very unique. We finish a Perek with a Mishnah. Misha Ro'as HaChodesh, Ve'ni Yochel LaHalach. So suppose this fellow saw the new moon, and he has a hard time walking to Yerushalayim, and it's on Shabbos. Melichim oisei al hachamer. They can transport him via a donkey, and even the ones who need to help him travel can come along with him. Afilu b'mita, even if they need to take a bed along. Vim tzoydalem, if they know there's going to be trouble along the road, ambushers. Rashi says there were these kutim basusim who would seek to disrupt the Kiddush HaChodesh proceedings. We're going to see in Amud Beis why they had some sort of agenda to make it difficult, and they're expecting trouble. They can carry some sticks along with them, to avert this trouble. And this is even on Shabbos. They can carry, they can travel. If it's a long journey to Yerushalayim, they can bring along some food for the trip. Even if it's a long trip to Yerushalayim, it will take a night and day to get there. You're still mechalal Shabbos, as long as they can get there in time to testify and allow Bezdin to establish the month in its proper time. How do we know? Shenemar elim yadi Hashem asher tikru oisam b'moyadam. So we learned just yesterday, b'moyadam, even on Shabbos, even if it involves traveling, journeying, carrying, riding a donkey, you do it for the sake of chidush hachodesh. Hadron hachal bo rosh hachodeshan. Continues the Mishnah. Im einon makirin oisoy. Suppose the aid arriving at Bezdin is not known to Bezdin, and they need some sort of a testimony to certify the ne'emanus of this fellow. Mishalchen imoy acher lehoidei. So the Bezdin of this fellow's hometown knows that he's not known to Bezdin. They're going to send another fellow along with him, a rav, somebody famous that is known to Bezdin, go along with this aid, even on Shabbos. Go with him to the Bezdin Yerushalayim so that he can testify about this fellow, offer some character support. And this way Bezdin will rely on this person's testimony. The truth is, this wasn't always needed. Bereshina, initially, at the earlier point in history, Bezdin would accept Eidus HaChodesh from anybody that shows up. Why not? Why would he try to falsify the Eidus? They accept it, they believe anybody. So what happened? Mishir Kilkul HaBaisusim. Baisusim were a group of people who did not accept Torah Shebaal Peh, and they sought to disrupt the system, as we want to see in Amud Beis. Rashi will explain for us there. So once that happened, now Bezdin had to view any person arriving with suspicion. Is he honest? Is he a man of integrity? And therefore, he's skinned with the institute a new practice. Shaloyu mekablin ella minamakirin. They don't accept the edus from somebody that they personally know, or has edim who are going to verify and certify his character to Bezdin. Now, the Mishnah says, if Bezdin won't know this fellow, they don't know him personally, then we need an acher, somebody else to come along to present the character testimony. Says the Gemara, my acher. So another fellow comes, chad. We assume acher means one person. One person is going to come and tell us this fellow is to be relied upon. Chad mi mehemen. Since one is one person, neman to establish a cheskes kashrus on this fellow. One aid is not neman. But Tanya, you have a brisa, maaser sheba. There was a ma'asa where this fellow who was unknown to Bezdin came along with two other eidim, two he made on him, that he's a ish neman. We need two eidim for that. One is not enough. Amar Papa, my acher zug acher. True, when the Mishnah says that an acher comes along, it means another pair of eidim to offer eidus that this fellow is a neman. I'll actually prove to you that even though the Mishnah uses a lashon yachar, it really means a pair of edim. Because otherwise, the Mishnah says, "Im einan makirin oisay, Bezna gadol, don't personally know this fellow, him. My oisay, what does oisay mean? One person is coming to be meir on edus hachodesh. That doesn't work. Ilay mi oisay chad. If oisay means one, v'chad mi mehem. Since one is one person, neman for edus hachodesh. Mishpat ksipe. The pasuk refers to the kiddush hachodesh." It uses the lashon mishpat, ki choyk liyisrael hu mishpat lelekei Yaakov, and a mishpat needs two edim, like any other din Torah. Ela my oisai. So apparently, when the Mishnah says imena mekiran oisai, it means oisai hazug. This pair of edim is unknown to Bezdin. Hachinami my acher. Likewise, the Mishnah says that they need to send along an acher to verify his personality. Zug acher means another pair of edim. Who be made on his fellow's ne'emanus. Says the more v'chad le'mehem, do you mean to say that one fellow coming along to say edus on this person Ne'emonis is not enough. Vatanya Masav Rabbi Nehirai. It was a story involving Rabbi Nehirai. This was on Shabbos. Shaholach Eitzela Eid Lohoid Olav B'Shabbos V'Usha. He traveled all the way to Usha to offer a character testimony on this aid. Right? And he's only one person offering that testimony. Sakhar Rabbi Nehirai travel. He's only one person. One is not enough. Says the Gemara. Amri, the Bnei Yeshiva responded, Rabbi Nehirai is a hada achrin hava bahade. The truth is that Rabbi Nehirai had another aide with him, coming along with him to offer that character testimony. Why didn't the Braisa make any mention of the other fellow? Out of covet to Rabbi Nehirai. See, the point of the Braisa is, I'm going to show you how important it is to do this even on Shabbos. Look, Rabbi Nehirai, Adam Gadol, traveled to Usha to offer Eidus, that his fellow was a Ish Neman. Look, arrived from Rabbi Nehirai. Now, although there was somebody else with him, but it wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't be a covet to say, well, Rabbi Nehirai with his other fellow traveled to Ula. It's understood that he had somebody else with him, but we omit mentioning of that person because it takes away from the covet the reference to Rabbi Nehirai. Rav Ashi Amar has another teretz. Rabbi Nehirai sa'ada achrina hava b'usha. The truth is, Rabbi Nehirai knew in advance that there is another aide waiting in Usha who happens to know this fellow who's going to say Eidus HaChodesh. This fellow is his friend. He knows him, and he lives in Usha. V'ozol Rabbi Nehirai litzarufu ba'adei. And he simply traveled to Usha to meet up with that fellow. Now we have two aidim who will offer character testimony regarding the Eid HaChodesh. So of course it was two people. One himself, and he's going to meet up with this other fellow living in Usha, who can also join him in offering this testimony. Yach, if that's the case, if it's a total of two, what's the chiddush lebraisa? Well, obviously, if Rabbi Nehirai knows there's somebody waiting there, and he's going to join up with him, then of course he should do it. Perhaps there would be room to think that there's always a chashash. How do you know that person's there? Maybe he left for Shabbos. You don't know if that fellow is still in Usha. Mispeker, it's only a suffix. Maybe he'll be there, maybe not. Loi mechalin Shabbat, this wouldn't allow, this wouldn't justify Rabbi Nehirai is traveling to Usha. Kamash Malon, yes. We assume that this fellow is home for Shabbos, and Rabbi Nehirai, when he arrives, will meet up with him. He'll have a total of two Edim who will be able to offer this character testimony to Bezdin in support of the Eid HaChodesh. Says the Marki also Ula. When Ula came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Omar, he told everybody, Kachua Liyarcha Marov. You meant to know that Marov and Eretz Yisrael, they established Rosh Chodesh on this and this day. Omar of Kahana, Loi mi bayu Ula, the Gavar Rabu. Needless to say that Ula, who's a great man, Ish Neman, the Gavar Rabu, the Mehemen, of course, he is to be believed. We have to accept it as fact, even though he's only one person. Ela afilu inish de alman amimem. But even if it be another person, a stranger, somebody that we don't even know, shows up in Babel and says, I want you to know, I happen to know that Rosh Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael was established on this and this day. He's to be believed, even though he's one person. My time of why? Kol musa David l'gluye. Anything which is eventually going to become public knowledge and publicized. Why mishakri ba'inshi? Why would somebody lie? Doesn't make sense. So we have to take it as fact. Tanya namihachi. We have the same in a brayso. Ba'echad misayfa olam. This fellow arrived from the end of the world, Ekvelt. We don't know who this fellow is. We never saw him before. V'omar kitshu beznes achodesh neman. He tells us, beznes was mekadesh on this day. He's neman because it's something which eventually will be known, will be publicized to all. Why would a person get himself to hot water, speaking falsely in such a context? So we have to be mamin him, even though he's only one person. The Mishnah tells us that originally, before trouble began with the Baisusim, Bezdin would accept anybody's testimony. But Rishayna Yimekablin Eidus HaChodesh Mikol Adam. So what happened? Tana Rabban. Ma Kilkul Kilkul HaBaisusim. What did they do to disrupt the system? What happened was as follows. Pamachas Bikshu Baisusim Lahatois Eschachamim. It so happened that once the Bais Susan, who did not believe in our tradition, Teshu Alper, they were trying to mislead, to fool the Chacham. Why? What was their motive? Says Rashi, 12 lines from the top of the Amid. Lahatois Eschachamim. She'ira Yoim Lamed Shel Adar B'Shabbos. What happened was, day 30 of Adar fell out on Shabbos. The new moon had not yet been seen, okay, which would result in it being a full month, and tomorrow, only tomorrow, being Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh would have been Sunday. What's wrong with that? But by Susan, these fellows, Miss Avin, they had this agenda. Shehei Yom Rishon Shel Pesach B'Shabbos. They wanted that Yom Tov of Pesach, which is the 15th day of Nisan, falls out on Shabbos. Why? Kadesh Tehei Anofas Omer Bechad B'Shabbos. So that the Omer should be the next day, Sunday. Vatzeres Bechad B'Shabbos. And that follows with Shavuos being Echad B'Shabbos as well, 7 weeks later. Why were they insistent on that happening? L'fishein Dorshin V'machros HaShabbos Yinefenu V'machros Shabbos B'Resh G'mashmoy. They didn't believe in our interpretation of Torah Shabbat Peh. They went literally Torah Shabbat Chassav only. It says, V'sfartim Lachem V'machros HaShabbos Miyoyim V'yachem Esay Mer Tanufa. So Machzor Shabbos means literally after Shabbos, Sunday. Chacham Darshin Machzor Shabbos means Yom Tov. Shabbos is referring to the Yom Tov of Pesach, whenever it falls out, irrelevant of the day of the week. According to them, Machzor Shabbos means the literal Shabbos. So they were seeking to have Omer fall out on Sunday, which would mean the Yom Tov of Pesach on Shabbos, which would mean Rosh Chodesh Nisan has to be Shabbos. Now this year they saw it was going to work out. There was no moon yet on Shabbos. So it was going to be a full month with Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. They saw to advance it by a day, to establish the Chodesh one day early. So what did they do? They hired two hoaxers, two people, to come testify that they saw the new moon today, in which case today, which is Shabbos, will be established as Rosh Chodesh. 2 weeks later will be Pesach, right? Tesvav Nisan will be Shabbos, in which case the Omer will be brought on Sunday, which is perfect for them. Says the Gemara, so what did they do? Sachru Shnei Bnei Adam Bedalad Meyesus. They hired two people for a total of 400 zuz, 200 per person. Echad Mishalanu. So happens to be, unbeknownst to them, one of these fellows that they hired, their bad luck, they happened to hire a person who was loyal to the Chachamim, who didn't believe in their business. The other fellow was part of their on their side of the other fence. So what happened? They both arrived to Bezin, and yeah, they saw the moon. Shalahem, the fellow who was in their camp, hey, they do saviyatz. He offered his testimony. Everything went smooth, and he walked out of Bezin because they used to invite one aide in at a time. So it was one by one. Their fellow came in, told Bezin, I saw the moon today, and he walked out. Shalano, the fellow who was on our side, he wanted them to know that it was a hoax. Amr Loi, the Bezin turns to him. Amr, could you tell us, Ketzad, Risa, Salavano, exactly what did you see? Amr Lahem says, Lo, you have to sit down for this. This was a real dramatic experience. Oy Loh, you see, Mala Adumim. I was traveling up Mala Adumim, some steep path, passageway. Verisif, guess what happened? I noticed this moon there. A fresh new moon. You know what he looked like? So Ravitz Bain Bay Slime. He was crouched between two big boulders. Reish Demila Egal's head looked like a calf. Aznav Demila Gdi. His hair is like a goat. Karnav Demila Tzvi. His tail. His horns like a deer. Was Novaibun Nachas Leiben Yarchosav. And his tail, you know where it was? Between his thighs. Vid Sastibai. I took one look at him. Vinir Tarti. I got frightened. Vinafatla Achori. And I fell backwards. Wow, this was some dramatic scene. Now, I know you probably have a hard time believing me. I'll tell you what, I'll prove that this is true. Look, there were 200 zuz tsrur and libisadin, wrapped in my satchel here. And this is where it's coming from. The whole thing's a hoax. So he captivated them, he got them all into it, and he brought out his point. This whole thing's fake. Amr Loi, the Bezin turns to him and says, Who brought you to this point? What got you to this point? Why are you coming to Bezdin and offering this testimony? This whole thing is a fake. Amram, he says, look, I was trying to help you out. I meant L'shem Shemayim. What happened was, Shamati, I heard, Shebikshu b'Yisusim l'hatos chachamim. I heard that the b'Yisusim were trying to confuse the chachamim. They were looking for candidates for the job. Amarti, I figured, Eilech ani, v'yudelem, I'm going to offer my services and I'll expose the truth. Shema yavoyu b'nei adam sh'enim ogan. Perhaps men lacking integrity will offer their services. V'yatu s'chachamim and fool the chachamim. So therefore, I offered, I volunteered, and here I am, that's the truth. Amar le chacham, were impressed with him, they told him, look, first of all, masayim zuz, the 200 zuz that you got, nesun lecha matana, you got to keep it. We're giving it to you as a gift, because really, you didn't keep your deal to the fellow who hired you, but Rashi says, hefker bezden hefker, you can keep it. Number two, vasecharcha, the one who hired you, yimatech alamud, will be laid over the post over there for Malkus, for doing some trick like this. So that's the story that triggered the new minhag. They saw that the b'Yisusim really mean business, and they're gonna mislead the chachamim b'Yisrael Shoyiskino. At that point, they instituted the new minhag shaloyu mekablin elam namkiran. They only accept edus hachodesh from those who are reliable, those that are people ne'emanim, either they know personally, or at least there are others that are being made, that they are men of integrity. Continues the Mishnah. So all this was on the way into Bezdin. Initially, they accepted from anybody. Eventually, they modified the rules. What about on the way out of Bezdin? Have they informed the general public in Bavel regarding the new moon, the new Chodesh? So there as well, there were two systems, there were two stages in history. But Rishona, initially, before the problem started, Hoye Masid Masois, they applied a very simple formula. They would light fires, masin masois, light bonfires on the mountaintops, which would offer that signal over to Bnei Bavel regarding the day of Rosh Chodesh. That was when things were still running innocently. Mishakilkulu akusim, once the kutim got involved, troublemakers, and again they tried to rearrange the months according to their liking. They lit the fires at the wrong time. Miskino, they instituted no more fires. Rather, she is shluchin, they sent out emissaries to go inform the Bnei Bavel personally. Now, initially, when they had the bonfires, how did that work? How would they light the fires? They'll bring these long cedar poles to be used as torches, vikanam with reeds, vati shemen, some oily wood, v'na'orish shel piston, some flax residue, v'koirach, all these flammable materials, v'koirach v'mashicha, tied up with a rope, v'oilu l'rosh ha'har, he would climb up to the mountaintop, u'meitzis b'nesor, and light a fire, get this going, u'moilach ha'mevi, wave the torch back and forth, u'mal ha'moirid, up and down, Tosfos says, b'shem d'Yerushalmi, so that they don't confuse it with a star. It's pretty clear, it's a torch being waved to and fro, up and down. And this is how he'd go on until he sees his friend, his colleague, who was waiting on the next mountaintop, Shuoisa Kane, who was doing the same thing, Baroisha Arasheni, on the next mountaintop. So it was a system stretching from Yerushalayim till Bavel. There were fellows waiting on the mountaintops. As soon as they saw the signal, they would light their fire, and this would cause a chain reaction, V'chein, Baroisha Arashlishi, the same thing taking place on the next mountain, all the way to above. Ume'ayin hoyu masin masuois. What was the starting point of these fires? What were the mountaintops that were used? The first stop was next to Yerushalayim, Har HaZeisim. Me'har HaMishcha, over to Lesarvtava, the next mountain. Lesarvtava, over to Legrofina. So the Gemara will tell us actually there was a great gap between the two mountains, about 8 parsa. It wasn't necessarily the next mountain, but they enacted a system where they were far enough that they can still see, far enough, but yet close enough to still see the signal over at the next mountain over. Umigrafina, over to the next mountain, Lechavron, and Mechavron, over the base Bilton. That was the last stop. On base Bilton, they wouldn't proceed further. Rather, the fellow would wave his torch back and forth, up and down, until he sees everybody in Golis responding to the message. He sees everybody living in Pumbedisa, which was the main mokum of residence of the people in Babel. He sees everybody there. Lefonav kimedur sa'esh. It looks like everybody is engulfed in fire, meaning Rashi Gemara says that they would go up to their rooftops and wave some sort of torch as an acknowledgement, message received. Okay, so initially the torches were used, and perhaps later, after the Kutim will be gone, we'll go back to that system. But in the meantime, they decided Shluchim will be sent out. My mashma, what do we find in Masin? The word Masin is referring to a fire. Lishna de Yakudhu, burning a fire, the Chsiv, Vayisoyim David Vanoshav. They burnt up the Abed Azorim, Targumina. We translated Vogdinun David. So we see Vayisoyim means Vogdinun, burning up the Abed Azorim here as well, Masin Masois, lighting of the fires. Now, when did they light the fires? At night. Which night? So we have 29 days, and we have day 30, day 31. A chodesh can either be one that consists of 29 days, which means day 30 is the Rosh Chodesh, in which case they light the fire that night, the following night, to indicate that it was a short month, or a month can have 30 days. So Rosh Chodesh will be 31, and they'll have to light the fire the following night to indicate that that day was established as Rosh Chodesh. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Masin Masuos, the only time they light fires is Ela Ala Chodesh Shenir Bezmana Lekachoy. If it's a short month, a 29-day month, that's called Nira Bizman, seen in its time, not delayed, not procrastinated, they're going to light the fires to inform everybody that the Chodesh was Nira Bizman. Lekachi, Rashi says Lekachi means Leidion, to notify, to publicize that it was Niskalish, in fact, on that day. Ve'masai Masin, on which night do they light the fire? Of course, Lo'iri Buroi, the night following 30. So it's 29. 30 is the Rosh Chodesh. The following night, they light the fire. That's called La'iri Burei. It's the night prior to Ibur. What does that mean? Sorry, the night following 30, which is called Yom Ibur. So 30 is the Yom Ibur. Why is 30 called Yom Ibur? Because that's the potential extension day for the last month. Ibur, like an Ishu Mubaris extension. So the 30th day of the month is called the Ibur, the Yom Ibur. Right? Sometimes that's considered part of last month, when it's a long month. So in a case where it was a short month, a 29-day month, day 30 being Rosh Chodesh, that's called Yom Ibur, and the following night they light the fire. But only on a short month, not on a long month. Why? Lememar, do you mean to say, da chaser avdinan, we light the fire on a short month, amali leavdinan, but on a full month. My time, why? Why'd you pick a short over the long? Why not in both? We'll go through all the options. I'm going to observe, you know why they picked the short, not the long? To keep things clear. Gezeira, we're concerned about a case. Mishum Rosh Chodesh Chaser, Shechol Yitzvash Erev Shabbos. Suppose it's a short month, 29 days. Next day, Rosh Chodesh. That day happened to be Erev Shabbos. After which you can't light a fire. It's Friday night. So when are you going to light it? Amos Avdi, when are they going to make the fire? Bapuki Shabbat, Matzah Shabbos. But it's going to create confusion. You know why? Because they're not going to know. One second. The fire is Matzah Shabbos. Friday was day 30. Shabbos day 31. Is this a full month? Was Rosh Chodesh today Shabbos? On day 31? And that's why we have a fire Matzah Shabbos? The night following Rosh Chodesh? Or was it really a short month? Rosh Chodesh Friday? They couldn't do a fire Friday, doing it tonight. I don't know what's going on. If you're going to tell me that the fire is done even on a full month, well, in this case, when there's a fire Matzah Shabbos, it's going to create confusion. Amri, I'll start thinking and speculating. Well, what is it? Hai Chasru, is it a short month? Rosh Chodesh was Friday. The reason why there was no fire yesterday, Mishum Layefsha, can't make a fire on Friday night. So that's one possibility. Oidum, or maybe, perhaps, Molyu. It was really a full month. Rosh Chodesh was Shabbos. It was Manu Yavdu. the fight that we see tonight, Matzah Shabbos, is in its proper time. They're not sure what's going on. Full or empty. 30 or 29. Short or long. And therefore we stick to making the Masuos only if it's a short month. This way, whenever they see the fire, even on Matzah Shabbos, they'll realize it's a short month. Because we only make a fire in a short month. They'll realize that Friday was Rosh Chodesh. They know Friday was day 30. They see a fire Matzah Shabbos. They understand this past month was a short month. Rosh Chodesh was Friday. Well, V'li'avad bin Amola bin Achaser, I have another option. Make the torches on long and short months. Okay? So if it's a short month, day 30 is Rosh Chodesh, fire that night. A long month, day 31 Rosh Chodesh, fire that night. What about this case that we spoke about? I have an easy solution. Don't make a fire that month. No, no. It's because of the circumstance. V'chimak l'Rosh Chodesh b'Erev Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh falls out Erev Shabbos. Lo'y la'avit klal. Don't make a fire at all. That's all. Simple as that. V'chivad l'avdina Matzah Shabbos. And when there's no fire Matzah Shabbos, it's black, it's dark. V'avdina l'amolik. And they know that generally we make a fire even on a full month. We make it every month, full or short, no fail. Right? On a short month, we make it following Rosh Chodesh of the short. On a long month, following Rosh Chodesh of the long. In this case, it's Matzah Shabbos. Day 30 was Friday. Day 31 was Shabbos. There is no fire on the horizon. They'll figure it out. They'll know why. Made the Yadi. They'll know. The Chaseru. That's because it was a short month. Otherwise, there would be a fire out there. On Matzah Shabbos, if Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh, why not? Right? The fact that there's no fire indicates there's something unusual here. It was a short month. Rosh Chodesh was Friday. And that's why there's no fire. You can't make a fire on Friday night. So that's why we don't do a fire at all this month. Don't understand what happened. So why do you have to limit the fire to a short month? A long month have a fire, short month have a fire. In this unusual case of Rosh Chodesh on Friday, leave the fire out completely. And they'll figure things out. Afilo hachi asa lamiti. Even so, says the Gemara, it's going to create confusion. You know why? Rosh Chodesh falls out on Friday. Day 31 was Shabbos. There's no fire. They're not going to be sure why. They'll think maybe something went wrong. Amri, they'll think, hi Maliu, really? It was a full month, a long month. Rosh Chodesh was Shabbos. Why is there no fire out there? It's Nusi, who did Nusi? It's because there was an Einus, something happened. They didn't get around to making the fire. Rashi says, five lines from the top, the Tznusi, B'shichrus shel mishtar Shabbos. What was the Einus? They got drunk on Shabbos. And they didn't get around to making the fire on Matzah Shabbos. They're preoccupied. And therefore, a lack of fire on Matzah Shabbos will not indicate anything. It's just going to add to the confusion. Therefore, says the Gemara, it's not really a viable option. Let's go back to the earlier option. A fire is only set when it is a Chodesh Chaser, a 29-day month. Following days, Rosh Chodesh, following that, there is the fire. In which case, if this Rosh Chodesh happens to fall out on Friday, we will make the fire Matzah Shabbos. Here we go, fire indicates a Chodesh Chaser. No, no, full and well, Rosh Chodesh fell out on Friday. Says the Gemara. Well, we have another option. V'li'avad amalei. You tell me you make a fire on the chaser, on the mullet. Maybe the reverse. Make a fire when it's a full month. And not at all if it's a missing month. That's a good option. So in a case where it's a short month, Rosh Chodesh happens to fall out on Friday, well, you won't have a fire Matzah Shabbos. Right? Because it's a short month. And everybody will realize, look, it's a missing month. Oh. So I know you're asking. A lack of a fire doesn't indicate anything. Maybe they're drunk. They didn't get around to it. So Rashi and Tosfos both ask this kasha. And they say there's a big difference between our stage in the Gemara here and the previous stage in the Gemara. See, earlier we spoke about the possibility of making a fire throughout all the months, Malay and Chaser, but with one exception. If Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, we'll just leave the fire out, which will indicate that indeed that happened. On that, the Gemara says no. They'll say, Einus, Shichrus. You see, because that's the way a person thinks. That's the way a person's mindset works. He's expecting a fire every month. Right? On this night or on that night, but a fire every month. And suddenly there's no fire. Ah, they're Shikr. They didn't get around to it. So it just adds confusion. But in this case, the Gemara is suggesting, don't make a fire every month, just on the Mullet, which is pretty much 50% of the time. And so you're not really expecting a fire every month. And this year, this month, where Rosh Chodesh falls out on Friday, there's no fire much on Shabbos. They'll realize it must have been a short month. Rosh Chodesh was on Friday. Right? Because there's no fire when it's a chaser. So why isn't that a good solution? Why do we have to make a fire by the chaser and not by the mullet? What about the other way around? Do it by the mullet, not by the chaser. Well, Rabbi says, Rabbi, I'll tell you why. There's a side benefit here. Mishum bitul malacha la'am shnei yamim, because it's going to create bitul malacha for everybody in Golis on Rosh Hashanah for 2 days in a row. Why is that? You see, Rosh Hashanah is the only Yom Tov which happens to fall out. It's associated very closely with Rosh Chodesh, right? So after 29 days of Elul, everybody has to stop doing malach, just in case Rosh Chodesh falls out on the first day, which means also Rosh Hashanah, which means this day is Yom Tov. So you refrain from malach on the first day. Now, some years, Rosh Hashanah is on the first day. Some years, it's on the second day. We don't know that in advance. So everybody stops doing malach on the first day. Now, how many days will they have to refrain from malach? So if it so happens that Rosh Hashanah was the next day, then it turns out they refrained for 2 days. Machmas Safek. They didn't know which day it was going to be, so they have to stop on the first day, all the way to the end of the second day. Now, let's say Rosh Hashanah is really the first day. So really, that's all there is. They have to only be shavus from malach on that first day. Now, people in Bavel are waiting for a signal. They don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh, right? Says Abaye. Here's the benefit. If you're going to make the fire for the night following the first day Rosh Chodesh, in this case, the first day Rosh Hashanah, so this year you'll make a fire matzah the first day, and everybody in Bavel stops Shvisa. They know it's no longer Yom Tov. Right? Today was Rosh Chodesh. Today was Rosh Hashanah. They're free to do malach. So that's the benefit in making the fire on a chaser, when it's a short month, followed by the day of Rosh Chodesh. That night they make a fire. This way it shortens the Rosh Hashanah experience. Whereas if you maintain that you're going to make the fire only on the Malay, when it's a full month, a long month, so the people in Bavel, they're not going to know what's going on. Right? They're going to refrain from malach on the first day, just in case it's Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh. And they're going to have to continue into the second day. They didn't see any fires. They don't know that only the first day Rosh Hashanah. They have to continue into the second day and keep Rosh Hashanah 2 days unnecessarily. Therefore says, Abai, we chose to make the fire only on the Chaser, the night following the Rosh Chodesh of a short month, in which case, when it turns out that Rosh Chodesh was the first day, and likewise Rosh Hashanah was the first day, we'll make a fire that very night. So the people in Bavel, no, Rosh Chodesh is over, Rosh Hashanah is over, they're free to do malach. Okay, let's quickly review the daf. We discussed the Eidos HaChodesh, Machlekes, whether a Karev is kosher. Regarding the Edom coming into Bezin, initially they would believe everybody until they got trouble from the Kusim. Then we need some certification. Initially they lit the fires, eventually they decided to send out the Shluchim. Regarding fires, when were they lit? At night. Which night? The night following Rosh Chodesh. Which Rosh Chodesh? Only the Rosh Chodesh of a short month. Kol tov to you and much hatzlacha.